With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
This is the Armchair Cricket Podcast.
Hello all, welcome to another episode of Armchair Cricket Podcast, a podcast focusing on test cricket by armchair critics of the game. I'm your host, Ajit. In today's episode, we have a much sought after returning guest, Manjunath. Hello, Manju. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, hi, Ajit.
Yeah, it's been a few episodes between your guest appearances, I suppose. I like your sense of humor, at least on Twitter. You have an interesting sense of humor.
Yeah, that will motivate me further. Thank you.
Before we dive into the games and such, how have you been doing? I hear some change of where you live and so on. How is that going for you?
Yeah, just moved to a new city. Just it's been a month and a half actually. So,
yeah.
Just getting to know the place a little better.
I don't come much further away from that point in the universe. I can tell you, people are fairly friendly there, though. I hope, you know, at least that part will be easy for you, you know.
Yeah, it's a very pleasant experience so far.
Yes. Yeah, but I think you also moved in the middle of, I think, one of the hottest periods of the year. Yeah, all right. Now going back to the games. Well, I think we can start off with the Pakistan-New Zealand ODI series that just concluded, right? So Pakistan beat New Zealand 4-1. And 4-1 also was a little bit of a surprise. I was thinking they were heading for a clean sweep. So did you get a chance to maybe catch up a part of the series at all? Or?
Yeah, I only followed the scores on Cricinfo. So actually, I saw some new names coming up, like Agha Salman batted well in the fourth ODI.
Mm-hmm.
And also leg spinner Usama Mir took some wickets. So that way, some new names came up.
Definitely. I mean, there were, I think, new experiments on both sides. For example, Pakistan, yeah, indeed, Agha Salman, at least also some test, like people who are more known for their test match skills were given a chance. Agha Salman has already played tests. Iftikhar Ahmed was not there in the first couple of ODIs. I think he was brought back, right? Yeah. And Shaheen Shafridi shows he has now a good hitting game, at least in the fourth ODI, I think. He hit some 23 of like no time, like 6-7 balls or something, yeah. Right? So, yeah. Like, strike rate of 350 plus. And that took the score from, like, a potential 300 or 310 to now suddenly more like 335. And that was a bridge too far. I mean, I think their middle order requires a bit of work from New Zealand. Daryl Mitchell has been there or thereabouts. In fact, he's been doing well. First of all, they're missing many first-choice players, no doubt about it. But also, I think Tom Latham was a bit slow. I think given that the approach is mostly 300 is more or less average score. He was batting a bit slowish, I thought, through the series. Did you get the same feeling? Or?
Yeah, actually, they seem to be in a transition phase, kind of, where they don't have the similar people anymore. Like, De Grandhom is not there, and so that it does look a little fragile. But I think if they are tested a little more, they may be able to find some good lower order players. And Tom Latham, I don't know what is the correct position for him. Maybe on the top of the order would be better. I don't know, but what the team management thinks, it's up to them.
Indeed. Now he opens in tests, but he's more of a solid player, and he was also the captain in the series. So they probably chose to play him at four. I think they wanted a slightly faster player up top. They had Will Young, Tom Blundell. I thought Tom Blundell may have let go of an opportunity. You know, an away 100 in a place like Pakistan will always be useful, right? I thought he let go of an opportunity there.
Yeah.
And also Jimmy Neesham. I expected a bit more from him, right? At least a couple of big hits, a couple of big knocks, must say, with the bat. Look, with the ball, he never gets a full quota. They usually don't count on him as a bowler. He's sort of somebody who can take a few overs off if somebody's having a bad day sort of stuff. So the other person I thought may have felt a bit disappointed with his performances was Ish Sodhi. I mean, it's always tough going into Asian conditions playing the hosts, because they're usually good players of spin, right? So if you look at the overall series, I mean, you expect maybe he would do a bit better than that, because if you look at the top run scorer, it's Mark Chapman. And then when you look at, you know, top ODI wicket takers, at least, nobody in the top five and so on for New Zealand. So they'll feel a bit maybe let down that way, because also, you know, they pride themselves. Whoever comes in is very good, is usually good enough to fill the shoes, grow into that role. Also, Jameson is not around for a while. Do you know if he's still injured or something?
I haven't read anything of late on Jameson.
He was out injured, and then I think he's been missing for 6 months, good 6-8 months, I think. He's also a youngster, but he's very, very tall, right? I mean, there'll probably be a lot of pressure on his back, like the way he bowls and so on. So that's something they have to also keep in mind. Like, maybe he has a slightly more fragile body than they thought initially. When it comes to the last ODI, well, New Zealand won it. That was more of a consolation victory, like... You thought, you know, they bet 299, and you would think mostly under most circumstances, Pakistan may chase this. But I think they made a very good start with the ball, because Pakistan were 3 for 52 and then 4 for 66. So the main scorers for Pakistan in the top four, Mohammad Rizwan, Babar Azam and Fakhar Zaman, once they were dismissed, right, I think Iftikhar Ahmed tried his best. Again, Aga Salman got another 50, a very timely one. And they had some support from the tail, but I think in the end, Iftikhar Ahmed sort of fought an only battle, and I think he came away with his reputation as an ODI player much enhanced. He's much of an improved player these days. I think he was very much liked when Misbah was the coach. He was given an opportunity also in tests, I remember. But looks like, he's sort of coming into his own as an international cricketer. And maybe, you know, he has a good couple of years that he can really help Pakistan ODI teams.
You said Misbah, like... You know, there is a tendency for late bloomers in batsmen. So hopefully he gets a good run, like Iftikhar.
Indeed.
So definitely he might be a little bit on the older side, but still he has the shots and the range and to make that position his own. So although he doesn't bowl, but he kind of resembles like the Razak years of cricket, like coming down the order, striking a few, and you know, like having these rear guard innings, trying to win the game. Like.
Right. I mean, I must say he can actually bowl some good, useful off spin. I think he's more used in the T20 games.
The T20.
Also in the middle overs, right? He can zip through a few overs, especially if one of your main bowlers is having a bad day. Get 3-4 overs out of him, and then you suddenly know, you know, there's more possible here. So, okay. That was a quick review. But overall, I thought New Zealand would be really disappointed, because they held Pakistan 2-all in the T20Is. But then usually, as they say, the weaker team has less chance the longer the game goes on. So the ODIs, they had less chance. They lost the series 4-1. But also people like Cole McConchie, who bowls spin and bats in the middle order, Rachin Ravindra, I thought they may sort of have a series which, you know, they are like announcing themselves in the international cricket. At least Mark Chapman definitely did that. He had a bunch of really good scores through the series. So there are some lessons there probably. But also this touring would have really helped them get the experience whenever, because after all, it's a you know, World Cup year, and later they'll be played in India.
They can identify their spin nucleus for the World Cup. Like we had Santner and Sodhi previously for the T20, but for the ODI, like they need to have those two spinners who can bat and give them like decent runs down the order and still bowl good spells.
Absolutely. No, that's important indeed. And also, as you say, people like Chapman, I think he might be a starter. Also,
yeah.
I think Santner and the other guy, Michael Bracewell.
Bracewell, yeah.
So these guys are sort of like really good. So
yeah.
I don't know if Cole McConchy and Rachin Ravindra, they'll feature in, because with Sodhi.
Yeah, maybe one of them might get in. It depends on the wicket. Like if it's a slow wicket, like if the game is in Chennai or something, probably you can have that third spinner.
Right.
But I don't know, like how many times they have played three spinners. Also, New Zealand are not a team which go with those tactics.
I mean, they'll have two people who can put sort of bat in the middle order and maybe chip in.
Yeah, two people can bat and chip in.
Okay, I mean, there's been some lessons for them at least. That's good. So now moving on, if we were to move on to the Bangladesh and Ireland series, well, it's Ireland versus Bangladesh. It's now being played in Ireland, of course. But, well, the first game got rained out. It was an interesting game. Bangladesh playing away could only make 246, right? And that too, thanks to a 50 by Mushfiqur Rahim. I thought they were in a bit of trouble. They were only a bunch of, you know, cameo sort of scores. Only Nazmul Hussain Shanto and Mushfiqur Rahim sort of made some scores. But then I think 246 against that Bangladesh attack might still be a bridge too far. I don't know if it would have proven to be the case, because Ireland were 65 for 3 in the 17th over, but the game didn't finish, but the series still remains. They have two more ODIs to play, but with the washout of this ODI, that basically means South Africa have qualified for the World Cup straight. They don't need to go through the tournament, the qualifier tournament in Zimbabwe, but now Ireland will have to go play that. Do you think Ireland let go of too many chances in the last couple of months or so?
Yeah, actually, Ireland have always, like you can say, flattered to deceive, because see, now it will be very wrong to call them as associates, because after becoming full members, they have had quite a competitive games. They have defeated England. They've had some very good wins. So definitely, we expect more and out of the talents. Like if you see Tector and Little, now Little has got a contract in the IPL also. So definitely, the talent is coming through. So they just have to put together a team that can still compete. So definitely they have the ability to do.
Right.
But they have to get, like have a look at where exactly they are faltering. So I think the same issue around 5, 6 and 7 somewhere, all teams have, they still struggle to find that correct player. So.
Fair enough. So look, that's probably a maturity quotient that teams have to build for themselves, right? So, I mean, one thing is you sort of match up to the best sort of performances you can come up with, but then comes the next step where you adapt to the away conditions, and then for Ireland, it's home conditions. For example, Bangladesh also, right?
Yeah, to be fair to them also, how much of away conditions they get with the tours program and how many fixtures, because even India hasn't toured Ireland for a full tour or at least a two test tour. So these are things which are probably out of their control. So with whatever opportunities they get, they are still trying hard.
Ah, indeed. Because the opportunities might be far and few in between, they might not really have the same impact if they were to play more regularly. This is a much common theme on our podcast, at least, where we say, you know, they're not being treated fairly, but there are more than those simple conditions of fairness, as we call it, that are at play, right?
Yeah.
But nonetheless, at least from my perspective, I think in the last couple of months, especially with the home and away tours of Bangladesh, I think they may have let go of a couple of really good chances where they could have just directly qualified for the World Cup and then shown, as you say, like Afghanistan have qualified directly. And there was never any doubt in this case that they would qualify. You see, there's already a big chasm when it comes to quality. Afghanistan probably have more players who tour and play in the T20 leagues and so on. But when it comes to their performances as a team, they have measured up well. They did well decently, well, also in the Asia Cup last year, for example, and so on, right? So you'd think there is already a chasm opening up. And Afghanistan are on the side of the divide where they are now showing with the results.
Yes. And also an interesting rivalry building up with Afghanistan versus Bangladesh.
So oh, yeah.
In every tournament, every series, there is extra spice to that battle. So definitely, one of the few good things to come out of.
I think even when they play Pakistan, there is a little bit of spice. So that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, if you are a South Asian cricket fan, you would love that because there's something to look forward to game within a game and so on. With certain kind of dances and whatnot. Definitely the fans are very, very passionate, and that sometimes maybe flows out also into the field, and you can see that. And as I said, it makes for good theater. especially with something to look forward to for us fans who look who probably look at these games on TV. Now, the next topic, basically, we are done with all the games, international games at least. So I think we can move on to the meat of the matter, IPL. Have you been following this regularly?
Yeah, like it's become a daily evening routine, kind of. But not fully, few games here and there. So it is still, they have been quite interesting, but there's a lot of variety in the nature, like some slow games, low scoring games, then some 200 plus scores have been chased. So actually, we don't know what to expect, but based on the venue, like Lucknow and Chennai have been a little slower, helping spinners. And the other wickets have been like even larger totals have been chased, like Wankhede or even Ahmedabad for that matter. But still, overall, the wickets are slowing down.
I mean, some fatigue absolutely has to creep in, right? There'll be four or five strips and you'd play, I don't know, 14 games of which six or seven, maybe seven definitely at home. And then there'll be some fatigue creeping in, no doubt. But now I think when you look at the table, there is also some clear distinction between teams that have a decent chance and teams that will now struggle a little bit more. At least that's how it looks like.
Yeah, and before today's start, still everyone had a mathematical chance. But then you can still, like at least Delhi, you can still almost they are out, you can say. Only mathematical chance is there. But the other side, like wherever the crowd of 10 points is there, definitely most teams are still in. Until obviously now they will all play each other. So definitely, I think those who get to 14, they will still have a run rate battle. Whereas 16 is like the magical figure, the absolute qualification. So that way we can see. But then if you currently at 11 games, Gujarat Titans and CSK are looking almost like sorted. And also the no result has given them an advantage. Like they have only they have 15 points. So like even if some team gets to 14 in even numbers, still they'll be like below CSK that way. So the fight is going to be for 3 and 4 mainly.
Look, if that way you talk about it, I think LSG got away in that game. It would have been CSK's win that day when that got rained off, right? And when you look at some of the other teams, look, I mean, RCB have had a typical season with 9 games done and 10 points in hand. They had a real good chance. Even if they had won one of those two games, right, they would have been in the top 3 or 4, and you know, there or thereabouts with a decent chance. They let go of this opportunity. They are, of course, touring away, but nonetheless, you would think, you know, 200 was a decent score, but at Wankhede against Mumbai, maybe that proved insufficient. I'm talking of the game 2 days ago, right? But also the game before that, you would think, oh man, they had the bit between their teeth. They probably missed the opportunity, right?
For them, actually, we don't know like whether away advantage is better or home. Like at home, like they are 200 plus totals are scored and they're all high scoring affairs. And sixes are hit and more runs are scored. So sometimes I always feel like they should have the space to drop one or two games at Chinnaswamy, lose them, and rather try to win away. So, but that they haven't been doing that. So that's the thing. Yeah, more of a top heavy side. Very rarely middle order is performing. Like one or two innings are there in the middle, but nothing conclusive. So they don't have like a Rinku Singh or Tevatiya kind of a confidence booster at the lower order.
They've got Kedar Jadhav now, who can probably add a bit more experience.
He started his comeback with a boundary, but later on just tailed off.
Yeah, the next lot of balls, he couldn't do much. Because again, one of those games where another 20 runs would have made a big difference, maybe 10, 15 runs even, right? So I felt they left some runs on the field in both those games, especially also against, they're not called Deccan Chargers, are they? Sorry.
Sunrisers
Hyderabad. Yeah, yeah. Good God. My mind there.
The Deccan Chronicle group was the old one.
Right. So, I mean, there again, you see, that was a game they could have won. 181, you're not, it's neither here nor there. That's sort of a total.
Yes.
And they let themselves down a little bit, I felt, there as well. That's RCB. But as I predicted a couple of episodes ago already, they're going to find it difficult to make the cut, actually, because the knockouts. If you look at the teams, right, I dare say Mumbai Indians with that win against RCB, right? They are now in the right shape. They are looking to have built momentum. So in the next two games, even if they were to win one, they'll leave themselves with a chance of making it, right? But then Lucknow Super Giants might be the team that have it in their hand and might have to lose it or let go of the chance they have.
Both Lucknow and Rajasthan are having some unexplained slumps or poor performances. So now today Rajasthan is playing well, but till the outcome of the game, even if they win, they'll move to 12 and LSG will come down. But then if they don't win, then KKR is going to go to 12. So that is where it becomes interesting.
That's the thing. So for me, the dark horses currently are actually KKR. Right. And to an extent, Rajasthan Royals, because Lucknow Super Giants are the ones who have it in their hands and they may let it go. And one of these two may take it. But I think the top three, barring some really huge upsets, I think Mumbai are more or less certain for the third spot. So Gujarat Titans, Chennai Super Kings will be 1 and 2. And I expect Gujarat Titans will be 1 actually. But let's see. And then the fourth spot is the one where I think, as you said, some up and down. Royal Challengers, the best they can do is win the remaining three games, get to 16 and hope for the best.
That's the only thing they can do. And even like Virat has told in the interview before also that they are the only side to consistently qualify for the playoffs. So I think with that thought, I go to bed every night. So.
Well, I mean, you might want to change your alliances and you may want to start becoming a bit more tragic like the rest of us. Don't worry, they're not going to qualify. I mean, even if they qualify, they lose the qualifier straight away, right? So I mean, don't hold too much hope on that, because they might at best qualify as the fourth ranked team, and then irrespective of whom they'll face, they'll be knocked out. At least that's my experience.
Right. SRH eliminated them once. So. That way, and once I think there's a Pune Super Giants, I think they got in that season. And 2016, they played the final. I don't know. Two and far between, actually. So, good.
They played two finals. They should have won one of those. They should have converted one of those.
Exactly. And the one of them, Kumble is still in RCB. So, that's that far back.
Yeah, you're right. That was the best chance they had. They had restricted this Deccan Chargers to 135, 136, something like this. Not a huge total. And all they needed was one other good innings, and they lost a very narrow game there.
Yeah.
Right. This was the second or the third season already, if I'm not wrong. And after that, I think they never looked like winning.
Yeah.
It's pretty much like as if, you know, they've taken a leaf out of their the state team, which plays in Ranji, the Karnataka team.
Yeah.
They're really good. They somehow, you know, are good and they come out of the league stages, and then near the end, they lose team.
Mm.
It's almost like, you know, Vidarbha, when they played, it was Saurashtra, when they played, they said, we are not bothered.
Mm.
These guys are good, but in the crunch games, they don't have the nerves for it. So, that's a pity. Let's hope they break this voodoo, because apparently, even the women's RCB teams have picked up the same habit in the first season of WIPL. But then, when we look at the bottom half of the table, Sunrisers Hyderabad, they'll again need to do something really, really special, win 4 out of 4.
They had a very incredible loss against KKR. They lost it by 5 runs. So it was like they were going good, looking good to chase it down. And they just, from there was a collapse. So again, like they have themselves to blame eventually, if you see. So not a fan of their auction strategy, but at least on paper, they had a good team.
Mm-hmm.
Even still now, they can get to 16 if they win their remaining 4 matches, but that's like a very far-fetched dream. So.
Absolutely.
So even if they, suppose they win 2, they'll get to another like 12.
I mean, Punjab Kings, again, flattered to deceive, pretty much the story of RCB, I think, this season. They have been there or thereabouts. They have had good performers, but somehow they let themselves down in the crucial. Like, you know, in the next two games, they have to win one to be comfortable, and they don't win any of those. It's been happening the same thing again this season. There have been a change of leadership. They've tried a few things.
Yeah, Shikhar getting injured, Sam Curran did it well. He led well. But what happens is they have these Indian batsmen who play well. But then suddenly sometimes the attack, bowling attack, and some of the selections or even the impact player, they not seem to get it right. So that's what. So even Jitesh Sharma has been a very good talent. He has delivered in a few games, but then they still don't have that consistent. This Harpreet has been a good find for them. So he has batted down the order for them.
Right. Harpreet and I think Jitesh are for me indeed. And Mayank Agarwal, really quiet season, strangely.
Mayank Agarwal, actually, really, we are not hearing of him at all. So.
I mean, that sort of bothers me, right? I mean, he had a potentially decent international career in the offing.
Yeah, look at highs from the RCB days, and then he went to Punjab. There also he had a good opening partnership. Then from there he like now he's really it's quite sad actually, because he opened in the Boxing Day test and got a 77. So
right.
At that time, like, there was a good technique.
Mm.
I don't know who added a trigger or a shuffle or whatever, and that's it. So even in GABA, like, he was caught trying to attempt some outlandish shot, like very soft dismissal.
Right.
So he got caught in the 30-yard circle. I really hope some.
No, I think for him, right, it's mostly a temperament sort of an issue. I think. Let's just hope he bounces back, because he has more to offer, and I think even though he's on the other side of 30,
yeah,
I think he can have definitely a couple of good years, and whether it'll be in India colors, we don't know. But same thing for somebody like, you know, Huda. I think he hasn't done much this year.
But this Mayank also is very much like Pujara as far as temperament, not the style of play. He has an appetite for big runs. He gets those 200, you know. So at least like for his Ranji Trophy, if he does well, it will be good for his own confidence.
Absolutely. I mean, I think his best way come for a comeback is through the big runs in the test or the longer format area. But he'll always also keep himself in the loop, you know, in the names. If the name is being mentioned more, it helps him. So this is one thing. And the other one, well, also I was a bit disappointed with, of course, Delhi Capitals, right? Everybody's disappointed. They've really fizzled out. The bowling is not showing up much.
They actually had one of the better sides on paper, and they had made the good auction decisions. And even that uncle was very famous, who was putting the auction thing up all the time. He was buying all the right players. I don't recall his name now, but there were a lot of memes, and it was a genuinely good strategy at the auction. But like they can say Pant is injured and all, but that is like a very small part of the problem. So just the combination and a lot of strategies also, like Akshar doing well but always batting at 6 and 7, it doesn't help them.
Right. I mean, I think that's the one guy who's really distinguished himself when it comes to performances on the field. I thought Warner started off decently but couldn't kick on, right? And also, I think completely misfiring middle order. Manish Pandey completely out of form. At least he doesn't look to be able to pick up the speed when required.
Yeah.
So when, for example, yesterday's game, right, against CSK, I think the pitch was not particularly conducive. So, you know, CSK are playing to their strength, no doubt there. But with Manish Pandey and Riley Russo, two international quality players, you thought, you know, these two are the people who can really take DC really close. They couldn't. And Manish Pandey has had a very, very interesting sort of a season.
Yeah.
He's scoring the runs. At least, I think he has had a couple of 50 scores. And but then not a lot happens around him. And also, when you talk about their lineup, Aman Hakim Khan has been there in the 11. I don't know. He bats very low. He doesn't get enough balls to play and he doesn't bowl. I think that player is being wasted there, I thought. At least Lalit Yadav gets some overs in with his spin, right? I think they targeted him. Given how well Akshar and Kuldeep were bowling and Mitchell Marsh also came through in the end, Lalit Yadav was targeted, right? And Ishan Sharma, at least after about 3 or 4 good games, I think now he's been sort of, most teams have a measure of him, right? They're going after him. So here again, you see, they had big names there, right? Henrik Norke, all of these people.
Like two international captains in the dugout, like such a big, 15 players and 15 support staff and big contingent. But I don't know whether how much of it was actually useful. But then life has its strange ways, actually.
Absolutely.
So, and I don't know, everywhere, I know many of them will feel Pant's injury, but then the other keeper hasn't been they couldn't identify. They've given some chances to Abhishek Porel.
Correct.
He looks to be interesting, a good prospect.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, around him, there was same. Delhi always have had that 5, 6, 7, 8 problem.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully they should retain Akshar Patel and, you know, maybe build a side around him. Like if you change once you have a leadership change, I think Akshar Patel can be. I don't know whether he's previously been a leader in domestic cricket, but at least his form, like from the Australia series, he's like batting so well.
Right.
And even on these slow pitches, he has been able to hold shape and, you know, go after the bowling. That's a good thing for him.
Absolutely. So that is another thing that they can sort of take positives from. But their season is more or less done. I really can't see them coming back from here. But also, I think people with such a strong batting order, Mitchell Marsh, Phil Salt. Phil Salt, I think, started very brightly. He had an off game yesterday. But if you are a fan of Delhi, it's pretty much like being a fan of Bangalore, I suppose. All good on paper, but going nowhere really when it comes to performances. On the other hand, when you look at somebody like CSK, I mean, you have to concede it's Dhoni magic, right? With people, not many big names in the bowling lineup. Now he's built, he's building a couple of stars there. People who might, you know, stay a decade at CSK or whatever, right?
And he's like, he's taken Rahane back to the workshop, put a couple of jetpacks on him and sent him back like Iron Man. And what's going on exactly, I don't know. Like 71 of 29 and such scores.
Right.
And relentless Rahane has come out.
No, it's good, right? And he's playing with a freedom, I think. At the end of the day, I mean, it's the freedom that you have in your head from then on, the way you play.
A lot of Maharashtra, boys in the mix, like Ruturaj, Rahane, Tushar Deshpande.
Absolutely.
So doing well. Yeah.
Oh, that's always nice to see, right? So Ruturaj Gaikwad, we always knew he had the talent. I mean, by the way, Jaiswal has hit the first over of the chase for 26 runs. Guess who bowled the over?
Okay, Umesh Yadav.
That would have been acceptable, but it was Nitish Rana.
Nitish Rana, okay.
The captain. And first two balls of the innings, six. Next two balls, four. And then two and four.
But actually, Nitish Rana was one of the guys who has a favorable matchup with off-spin.
Exactly.
So maybe he underestimated Jaiswal.
So I think that's what may have happened here, because Jaiswal, it looks like a red rag was waved in front of his face and he just came out hitting sixes straight away. I mean, all you need is like a couple of cameos now and the chase is almost sealed, right? It's going to be very tough from them. Well, now that we're talking so much about KKR, how do you think they did? Yeah.
KKR actually, pre-tournament, they were always, you know, they built that the combination wasn't good and, you know, they had a lot of voids still. Narin was no longer that opening batsman force he is. So he was more of like a bowler. But definitely Varun did very well. The spinners did well. That Suyash was very good, a new guy, but has a good action. He delivers the ball looking at the sky, but it goes to the correct place. So he seems to have a good head for T20. So I don't know about long format what he plays, but Suyash is a very fresh recruit from club cricket or something. So, definitely for this format, he's done well.
Right.
So, they have their bowling attack well, but with, again, Andre Russell not firing. So, they need another finisher with them. But otherwise, their top order, Venkatesh got a good 83. And they have, their batsmen are doing well. But maybe again, just that last bit of for a good total. So, that seems to be missing. So, actually, they have a combination where they can afford to, you know, post big score and then defend it. They have the attack to defend score.
Well, at least I think, as I said, if they can win this game, they can give themselves some boost and give themselves a real chance in the back end. Because, well, they made a comeback just now. You're speaking of the guy, Andre Russell. He hit a run out from point, direct hit. And it looked like, I think, there may have been some miscommunication between Butler and Jaiswal, and Butler was run out. That's a pity. But nonetheless, you know, among these two, between KKR and Rajasthan Royals, I actually will probably back Rajasthan Royals, because in the back end of the tournament, they have a much better performing spin contingent in Ashwin and Chahal.
Thank you to the spinners, the spinners are actually, they are tailor-made for the tired pitches, like now in the last part. So definitely, it's a good punt to go with Rajasthan.
Yeah, let's see how they go. But I mean, that more or less wraps up our IPL section. But before I let you go, I think we've sort of discussed our last four, but who will win the trophy?
Yeah, trophy this time, although Gujarat is looking strong, but they may be in for a slump or a slip. So maybe it could be again El Clasico in the final and CSK winning.
So you're saying El Clasico is Mumbai and Chennai, right? In IPL.
Yeah.
That could be interesting. But I have a feeling it'll be GT and CSK in the final and Dhoni will sign off with a victory.
But Dhoni has also said that you have decided it's my last season, not me.
I mean, he says a lot of things. I mean, he says a few things. You just say, is it? Oh, okay, fine.
Yeah, right.
Okay. You never know, right? I think he never takes these calls at the end of the tournament, but like more like October.
Yeah.
September, October, he says, okay, where am I? How fit or how, you know, how motivated am I and so on. You know, the thing about Dhoni, right? he once said in an interview, post-match interview, at that point in time, he was one of the most successful keepers and, of course, captains in the world cricket. He had the ODI World Cup, the T20 World Cup, the IPL, I think Champions League it was called at that point in time, Champions League cricket.
Yeah, Champions League T20.
Right,
yeah.
He had it all. He had it all. Yeah. And then they asked, and his team was number one in world tests, of course. What would you like to do now that you have so many things? He said, I would like to do it all again if possible. So, I mean, with an attitude like that, now he's actually doing what he needs to do, right? He's become the core finisher. He comes with like 10 balls left. He purposefully positions himself like that and just tries to bludgeon the ball away, right? So, yeah, that's very interesting. Let's see how that goes. So, that's the end of the IPL. Now, moving on, I think we should focus on some of the drama surrounding the Asia Cup games, where there are two kinds of reports you hear, depending on which camp you sit in. Because Bangladesh and Sri Lanka are the two other, let's say, bigwigs in this region, in the Asian region. And they are now saying they are not happy about the hybrid model that PCB has come up with, for example, where they're able to, you know, some games will be played in Pakistan, some games will be played outside of Pakistan, maybe in UAE or something. On the other hand, some Pakistan cricket board official said they have mails from Sri Lanka and Bangladesh where they have actually said they're happy with this model previously. Any thoughts on this?
Yeah, mainly the one solution to it is if there is a little better bilateral ties between India and Pakistan, it can make things easier. But then that being said, you know, I don't know how many back channel talks are going on and what is the level of diplomatic ties. That is one. And second, with Imran Khan's arrest and this other the other developments, like how stable is Pakistan right now? Like that it can manage the logistics and host a tournament.
Absolutely.
So don't want to go back to the territory where you know, Sri Lankan cricketers and, you know, Chilan Samaravira and company.
Yeah.
They were put into this turn test. So we don't want to be going down that road also.
Right.
So, and what is the level of security? A lot of, you know, assurances can be given, but the real thing on ground has to be seen. So definitely hybrid model could be the way forward, just to, you know, we get on with playing the games at least.
Right.
So the situation notwithstanding. So I don't know. And both are very close to India because whenever we are bored, we tour Sri Lanka. And when Jagmohan Dalmia was there, he ensured that Bangladesh becomes a full member. Mm. And Aminul Islam and Sourav Ganguly walked out of the toss for that test match.
Right.
So there is a lot of history intertwined too. So, really, I don't know. But definitely, it should happen because the Asia Cup is, since the time of, like, India has boycotted one Asia Cup before.
Mm-hmm.
That is in the time of late 80s or early 90s.
Right.
But then, later on, it has been a tradition and it should continue.
Mm.
Like, and then reducing it to T20 format, again, truncated it further. Mm. So, definitely, they shouldn't tinker with it any further. At least, we should have the Asia Cup. So, that will be a good thing.
Look, that's how you would think it would go. Right.
Yeah.
But then when you look at how all these machinations that are going on, at least in front, right in the foreground, you would say we are headed for a clash. I mean, my previous guest said, you know, they'll talk a lot at the start. But then when it comes to in the last 10 days, it'll somehow all fix itself.
Right.
Maybe. So in that case, you may still hold out some hope, but one never knows. Right. At least some interesting developments there, but I think we have to keep an eye on this space.
Yeah, even economically might be better for Sri Lanka.
Like right,
they are recently
absolutely.
Just coming out of a slump, so it may help them a little more. Whereas Bangladesh's percentage of GDP spent on health is more than India also.
Right.
So I think they are doing quite well.
No, it could be a very relevant point what you just said. That way, it makes some sense. That economies can also benefit. Cricket is a big moving factor in these parts, at least in the Asian subcontinent, and people can indeed use that. That's correct. Now, from that, I think you just brought up the other situation that I wanted to quickly touch upon. So Imran Khan had been arrested, but it looks like an hour ago, the Supreme Court of Pakistan has ordered the immediate release of Imran Khan because they deemed his arrest to be unlawful.
Even a statement from a Supreme Court judge to yesterday, he asked the police to be immediately present themselves in court. So after that, they did make a statement that, you know, such unlawful detention shouldn't be there. And so hopefully, and actually he was arrested when he was getting bail in some other matter.
Right. So right. Exactly.
He was applying for bail. So that's very sad, actually. So I don't know, for we don't follow the politics very closely, but a World Cup winning captain. So that is what it feels sad. at the end of the day.
Absolutely. But, you know, I mean, once you get into the politics, it was his choice. And of course, he thought he could make a difference.
Yeah,
right? I mean, that's what it boils down to always, right? He thought he could make a difference, yeah. And probably he's going to give his all. And sometimes you end up sometimes on the wrong side of the law. I mean, especially coming from the Asian subcontinent, the both of us know how things are done. And we don't need to go too deep into that, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But right. I'm sure, you know, he's one of those very charismatic leaders, both on and off the field. He's been very, very charismatic, right? And I think that's what he's banking on, because he's challenging the establishment and so on. I mean, there are more other more, let's say, well-informed outlets where our listeners can get more information on this. But that, nonetheless, it's worth keeping an eye on, because it's also very, very interesting how these things are done. Now, before we close off today's podcast, and another interesting topic, BCCI will earn as much as 38.5% of the annual earnings from the proposed model from 2024 to 27. This is the earnings from ICC. So that will come up to as much as 230 million per year. So have you seen this news? Any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I read this article this morning. So like they have like outlined criteria for deciding this financial model. So they are like, one is cricket history, and then performance in both men's and women's ICC events over the last 16 years. Then there is contribution to ICC's commercial revenue and an equal weightage for the status of being a full member. So like, if you look at this criteria, it's like this match is already fixed. Like, so like, how do you expect, yeah, so how do you expect Ireland to get anything out of this? So like, see, some decisions are definitely like made in with the economics in mind. But then with such a division, it's only like, out of all the members, only three of them are going to earn 30 million. And the rest are all are in single digits. So like, with such disparity, I think it's not a global sport anymore. So like, if you want to make it inclusive, then definitely you should have, the ICC should have more say as to how some funds can be allocated to develop cricket in some other country.
Exactly.
Maybe say Brazil or Argentina or something. They may not be primarily cricket playing nations, but like, the first point is cricket history. If you want to have a rich history, you have to, you know, have some say in creating some on your own. Like how, take Jagmohan Dalmia's example of getting Bangladesh the status. People told that Bangladesh has got full member status too early. All the batsmen will play flamboyant square cuts, and the total will be 70, 80 all out like that. But then they persisted and they came through. So some head starts are needed ultimately. I don't think like this model, whether they accept it, but the committee also is heavily loaded in India's favor. So definitely it might go through. So the other two names in the community, in the committee, I haven't read much about them. So only Jay Shah is the chairman, and there is Pepsi CEO Indra Nooyi is on the committee.
I mean, she's also the independent director, right? Non-executive director of ICC.
Yeah, right? Non-executive director, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it all points to one thing. The people making the decisions seems to be making the decisions on their own favor and so on.
Yeah.
ICC, I think, you know, there's a joke. Certain cricketing circles, ICC is called Indian Cricket Council.
Yeah, that it is often repeated every day. You can read one. But then they have to at least, even if it is loaded in your favor and you're going to take a lion's share, at least you should make an attempt for it to be a little equal. So even that previously, and I'm not saying the big three is a good arrangement, that also had its flaws. Like all the three will have, they'll play series amongst each other. So now India hasn't toured Zimbabwe for how long? So these things, if you're serious for making test cricket, like, because our podcast is dedicated to test cricket. So if you want to make a difference, then you have to definitely, because this model, I don't think the BCCI is going to get any poorer if a little more equitable, you know, sharing is there. Yeah. I think we have reached that stage where we can still be a little more, you know, magnanimous. That's what.
Exactly. I mean, when I look at the shares, they look a bit suspicious indeed, absolutely, because you would think, you know, even countries like Australia, England and all are earning no more than 40 million each, right?
Yes.
If people like Afghanistan, I mean, I know their political situation is a bit different and there are other full members who feel differently about it, but Afghanistan, 16.8 million, right? Sri Lanka 27.12 million, Zimbabwe 17.64 million, Ireland 18.04. Look, so these people can definitely be given a bit more. I don't know how you'll work it out, but BCCI, yeah, exactly. Even if they were to give up a 31 in out of the 231 million, that might make a big difference to many other individual boards, right?
Yeah, you never know. You may actually, if suppose we adopt a sport, we may be able to build an AstroTurf in every city or every, you know, tier 2 city.
Absolutely.
And still have enough money left. So, really, so I don't know. I definitely don't agree with the distribution. But I know there are a lot of people who will say, yeah, yeah, the maximum population. But that does not translate into, like, if we had maximum population, we should be winning medals in javelin all events.
That's the most important thing. Population does not, I mean, numbers did not mean quality, right? Quality is different from quantity. So, yeah, and so on. But that's okay. This is a longer discussion. All I would like to see is a bit more equal, if such a thing is possible. Distribution between the teams. I know BCCI uses its money very well. We know that. I mean, I've spoken to some ground level cricketers and they're really happy about how BCCI arranges its as set up. Now there is a proper pension for ex-cricketers and so on and so on. So if you cross a certain level, you're really good now. That part is good. But then some other countries can also grow because they may not have the same kind of setup where we know how BCCI earns from its internal tournaments. So let's not go into that at all. But all in all, some lessons to be learned, I suppose. But we'll see if the people that are making such decisions are actually interested. Those were all the topics we wanted to discuss. As always, a pleasure talking to you, Manju. And thank you for giving us your time.
Thank you very much. The pleasure is mutual always. And if there is any doubt why the podcast is not dedicated to tests, you can tell them that a few people got selected in the team after their IPL performances. So they can't fault us for discussing the IPL. So,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So there's Ramne in final, then Ishan Kishan.
Well, I mean, that's another interesting topic. That's always another interesting topic. I still don't know why somebody like Sarfraz Khan and the likes are not getting a chance. But I mean, maybe it's also something to do with it's given a one-off test and it's also experience because it's the final. So those things are all potential reasons. But yes, I mean, there's a lot to discuss there. Nonetheless, I'll leave you with one interesting update. So I think Jaiswal got to a 15, 13 balls just now.
Oh, nice. That's, I think, should be the record. 12 is the record or 13? I'm not sure.
12, I think, is the record. I think KL
definitely among the fastest, yeah.
Absolutely, right?
Also wishing a happy retirement to Shabnim Ismail and Catherine Sivadra.
Thank you for bringing that up. I had almost missed that. But yes, indeed. So, first of all, ending of very storied careers, it must be said. 16-year-long, 19-year-long careers. So Shabnim Ismail, 16 years, really a talisman. And even up until the end of her career, she was considered one of the fastest women's bowlers, right? Shabnim Ismail. And I think she's made an immense contribution as far as South African cricket goes. And Catherine Siver-Brunt, I think both on and off the field, a real giant of the women's game. I mean, 19-year career, starting as a teenager and kept on going and kept on reinventing herself, won World Cups, right? Multiple World Cups with her team. So all this, some really, really big shoes. They have identified some new cricketers, at least when it comes to England. You see some Isi Wong and some very new and very excitable bowlers who are taking the place of the older and more immature people in the team. But nonetheless, the team will definitely miss the experience somebody like Catherine Siver-Brunt would bring to the 11. Okay. And would you like to let us know where you can be reached on the interwebs if people want to interact with you?
Yeah. On Twitter, you can follow at the rate of the falling sweep.
You also have a podcast. Have you had a chance to kick it off again?
Yeah. We haven't made many episodes right now. We had a few videos in the middle. We'll try to restart it again.
All right. Yeah. Good luck with that. All right, Manju. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Wish all our listeners a good day, wherever they may be listening from.
Sure.
And a goodbye.
This is the Armchair Cricket Podcast.